Hebrews 11, chapter 1, as I think I already at least alluded to, is one of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. I think it was the first verse of Scripture that I ever memorized. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, it's not exactly a definition of faith, but it is a profound description of what faith is. It actually sounds kind of similar to something that John Calvin himself wrote about faith. You know, John Calvin, who is not really the father of the Presbyterian Church, but maybe the godfather of the Presbyterian Church. And here's what Calvin wrote about faith. Faith is, quote, the firm knowledge of God's benevolence towards us. In other words, the conviction, the certainty that God loves us all. It's true. Remember that? That's Vacation Bible School. Sorry if you didn't catch that. Faith is a conviction, a certainty. And this verse in Hebrews says faith is the evidence of things not seen. The evidence, indeed, the proof of things not seen. That's the difficulty with faith. It involves things we cannot see. We can't see God directly. I mean, we're told in Scripture no one can see God and live. Even Moses just had to glimpse the backside of God as he went walking by, and that was the best Moses could do. And those who saw Jesus in the flesh lived for just a short period of time. Even the Apostle Paul never saw Jesus. He heard him on the road to Damascus, but didn't see him. But faith is the evidence of things not seen. We can't prove the things of faith. People have been trying since day one to prove that God exists. And some of the proofs are quite clever. I've always been quite inclined towards the ontological argument of God's existence. I learned this in philosophy class in college and still remember it. Basically, the ontological argument, ontology means essentially being. The ontological argument for God's existence was first postulated by Origen, a writer in the second century. And Origen's idea was this: if God is, by definition, the most perfect being, now imagine two perfect beings. One exists and one doesn't exist. Which one is more perfect? Well, it's more perfect to exist, isn't it? So therefore, if God is the most perfect being, God must exist. I think that's kind of a clever argument. Now, it's not going to convince anyone who doesn't already believe that God exists, because for like all proofs of God's existence, you really have to start with the premise that God is. And that's the problem. You can't convince someone who doesn't already believe in God's existence that God exists. And this idea that you have to be able to verify facts is a fairly modern one. It grows out of the Enlightenment. Truth must be verifiable. You must be able to do experiments, and they always come out the same. But notice there is an element of faith even in science. I mean, let's say you've done an experiment 10,000 times and it always comes out the same. Well, how do you know it's going to come out the same the next time you do it? Well, there's a certain amount of faith that past results mirror future results. But that takes a little bit of faith, doesn't it? Or think of, for example, gravity. Gravity exists, right? We know it because every time we drop something, it falls. I let go of the book, it falls. Every time a human being has dropped something, it falls. But how do you know the next time I let go of this book, it's going to drop? Well, because it's always happened that way. But it takes a little bit of faith to say that means the next time I do it, it's going to drop. Now, I'll leave you in suspense on that one. Or think about the sunrise each morning. The sun rises in the east every day. It's done so every single day of human history. But how do you know the sun is going to rise tomorrow? You can't really prove it. It takes a little bit of faith. Of course, one day, maybe a million years from now, it won't. But there's faith even in science. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Now, I can't prove to you that God exists, but I've experienced for myself the love of God, the grace of God, God's guiding hand. Now, sometimes I have had no clue that God was guiding me until well after the fact, but I know it to be true. God exists. I can't prove it to you, but I know it from experience. And faith has to do with that experience. And faith is not just the evidence of things not seen, the trust that even though we can't see them, they exist and are true. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith and hope are always linked together. Because there is no such thing as hope unless you have faith. Because hope and faith are always looking forward. You don't hope for something that has already happened. That wouldn't make any sense. We hope for what is not yet. And that's what Jesus is getting at in Luke's gospel when he says, first, put your heart and your treasure in heaven. You can't see it, but that's where your heart should be, in the things of God's kingdom. And even though you can't see God's kingdom yet, it has not come to fruition yet, wait for it and be ready for it. That's hope. Why do we do it? Can we see evidence that God's kingdom will come? Maybe, depending on where and how you're looking. But we mainly have that hope because of our faith. And that's also why the writer of Hebrews talks about Abraham. Abraham is held up as the model of faith. Why? Because at some point, God came to Abraham and said, leave your home, leave everything that's comfortable, and go to a new place. And Abraham obeyed and went. Out of faith, pure faith, had no idea where he was going, but knew who was going with him. And then at some point, God said to Abraham and Sarah, and Abraham at this point was 100 years old, Sarah was close to that, and God said to them, I'm going to give you descendants, more numerous than the stars in the sky. Now they chuckled a little bit at this. But they believed it. They had faith. They had no evidence. In fact, all the evidence pointed to just the opposite conclusion. There is no way these two old folks are going to have descendants of their own. No way. But they had faith. It was the evidence of things not seen. It was the substance of what they hoped for. And that's faith. And if you could prove these things, there would be no need for faith. I want to wrap up by mentioning something. I came across this week in sort of getting ready for this sermon. Some of you may remember this gentleman. His name was Admiral James Stockdale. Anyone remember Admiral Stockdale? Unfortunately, he's best remembered as Ross Perot's running mate in 1992. And you may remember the vice presidential debate that year, James Stockdale between Dan Quayle and Al Gore saying, "Who am I? Why am I here?" It could have been one of the most honest things ever said at a debate, actually. James Stockdale was and had served honorably in the Navy for years. He was one of the most decorated people ever to serve in the Navy. He was also in Vietnam, shot down, and was in a prisoner of war camp for over 7 years in Vietnam. Now, he was not a young man at this point, and many of the men there with him who were much younger and in better shape did not survive this experience. Stockdale did, and he was asked later, "How did you survive?" And Stockdale said this, "I never lost faith in the end of the story. I never doubted not only that I would get out, but also that I would prevail in the end. You must never confuse faith that you will prevail in the end, which you can never afford to lose, with the discipline to confront the most brutal facts of your current reality, whatever they may be." This was a writer who wrote about Stockdale later called this the Stockdale paradox. You have to hold on to a long-term hope that you will prevail, or I would say that God will prevail, but at the same time confront in the present moment whatever it is you are going through. That's what got James Stockdale through every day of that 7.5 years in a prisoner of war camp. It's also, I think, reminiscent of what the writer of Hebrews says about faith. Holding on to something despite the present evidence that may be telling you it's not true. That's faith. So James Stockdale woke up every single day in that prison with these three thoughts. "I'm still in this horrible place. Someday I will get out of here. But for today, knowing those first two things are true, how should I behave?" That's faith. Trusting in the promises of God and our hope, and using that to get through today. That's faith, the substance of everything we hope will come true, and the evidence of everything we can't yet see as we try and get through one more day. Amen.